We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back into another special edition of the House of Hoosier podcast. Different settings for Austin and I now in our homes, not at school after finals week starting to conclude. But we have a couple of special guests with us. Before this big matchup at Assembly Hall coming on Saturday, Indiana and number 2 Kansas, Sam Lance and Jackson Besdick, both seniors at Kansas. Sam Lance actually used the COVID year to get his fifth year senior at Kansas right now. So, gentlemen, thanks for coming on and joining me, Austin.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Austin.
Excited to have you guys on. We just return to the tables here. You guys just interviewed us talking a little IU basketball and how the Hoosiers will fare against the Jayhawks. Now we're going to ask you guys some questions about Kansas this year, number 2 ranked team in the country. The storyline coming into this year was Hunter Dickinson, probably the prized possession in the portal. And Bill Self went out there and grabbed himself a big man. How have you guys seen him kind of gel with the rest of the team? He's leading the team in points, as you would expect. But how have you guys seen him kind of work with the rest of the team on both sides of the ball?
Want to go ahead and take it, Jackson?
Yeah, I'll take it. I think that offensively, he's been everything as advertised. I mean, his touch around the rim is bar none. The fact that he can stretch the floor and he's shooting such an efficient clip right now from three is such a underrated weapon that I think people talked about when he was in the portal. But, I mean, that's really been such a huge addition for the Kansas offense because we don't really have a ton of shooters. But defensively, it's taken a couple games for him to get used to kind of the Bill Self schematics of everything. Playing defense for Bill Self is going to be different than playing defense from pretty much any other coach in the country. But I think he's handled that adjustment pretty well. And I sure as heck like watching him do jump hooks over his right shoulder every time down the floor. So I hope to see more of that.
And Bill Self and the priest or during the transfer portal, you know, trying to get guys said that he needed to go out and get somebody who could get 20 and 10. Well, Hunter's right at about 20 and 12 right now, 20 and 13 rebounds per game. So that's been huge. Hunter Dickinson, he's up there. I believe he's top 3 in the country and rebounds per game. So he's been really solid, kind of cleaning up the defensive glass for Kansas. And he's the best offensive big man that Bill Self said he's ever coached. And I think it's pretty evident so far. It's taken teams to put 3 guys in the lane against Hunter Dickinson for him to score, to be held to under 15 points. And even whenever teams do that, he's still getting, you know, 15 to 17. So yeah, he's been everything as advertised. He's been absolutely great. It's the number 1 player in this past offseason's portal for a reason.
Not only has he been the biggest storyline for Kansas as a team this year, specifically this matchup with all the history Hunter Dickinson has against Indiana. Indiana fans don't like him, and that's going to be a fun little part of Saturday's game at Assembly Hall, how Indiana fans welcome Dickinson back. And you talked about offensively as advertised. I don't think anyone's surprised. Defensively, it's taken him a few games. That's an interesting matchup because Indiana runs everything offensively down low. Between Khalil Ware and Malik Renew, they have two good scoring options down low, a lot like Kansas does. How do you expect Hunter Dickinson to be able to match up defensively against those guys?
Yeah, really, I think it's going to be ball screens are going to be key. You know, can Hunter Dickinson hedge those well and get back to Khalil Ware, not let him do any damage inside? But really, it's going to be him, you know, also having to guard Khalil with his back to the basket and not allowing him easy shots over that left shoulder. So Yeah, defensively, it's going to be a big test for Hunter. He played pretty well against Donovan Klingon, held him to just 8 points. So we'll see if he can kind of back up that performance and hold another really solid big man to under 10.
I'm honestly worried about his temper more than anything. I mean, going into a hostile environment, we've already had multiple instances this season where he's either gotten a tech or has clearly thrown somebody down to the ground on purpose. And especially, you know, an exhibition in Champaign against Illinois, there were a couple moments that, you know, had it been a regular season game, he might have gotten ejected. So I am personally a little worried about that. But, and that comes on the defensive side of the ball, right? If he's giving up baskets and Ware's taking him down low and having his way, that's going to really frustrate Dickinson. And I think the major key for Kansas as a whole is, can you keep Ware from dominating down low? Because not only does that affect Indiana's offense and what they want to do, but it just sets the tone for Kansas defensively, and it sets the tone for Dickinson in the rest of the game.
I think staying out of foul trouble will be really big for Hunter too in this game. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really faced that this year. And Parker Brown coming off the bench isn't going to be the greatest matchup to put against Khalil Ware. So staying out of foul trouble is also going to be big in this one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think we can both say, both teams can say foul trouble is going to be a big difference in this game. We've seen Indiana under Mike Woodson these last few years play. They play a lot of big men. This is a team that they play. They start with two bigs, Malik Renew, as well as Khalil Ware. How do you think Kansas will fare going up against two big men? We saw last year, you know, Kansas played basically five out against Indiana, and it worked really, really well. Indiana is not a team that, at least historically, has done well against teams that play five out and have a lot of shooters. So how do you think that balance there? Of course, having Dickinson changes things, but against two big men, how do you think Kansas will fare, and kind of who do you expect to be guarding a Malik Renew during the game?
I think it'll be KJ, and I think KJ is actually probably pretty excited for that matchup, because, you know, it's kind of like him going against five men last year. He gets somebody a little bit bigger. I think he's got about 2 inches on him, and they're similar weight. So he gets somebody he kind of gets to, you know, go at physically, and KJ Adams really likes those physical battles. So I think that's going to be a really intriguing one. Who kind of takes that matchup down low? Because obviously Dickinson and Ware, it's going to be where a lot of the balls are thrown offensively. But, you know, who can win that kind of secondary big matchup between Malik and KJ? That'll be huge to determine this one for sure.
Yeah, I think the two-man game between KJ and Dickinson is going to be very important for Kansas to score the ball. One thing that Indiana needs to look out for, they need to be really, really set in their help defense, because KJ will slash, he will crash. And once he gets the ball within 8 feet, there's nothing you can do about it. And I think the matchup with Renew is super interesting. Like Sam was saying, KJ doesn't get to play a lot of guys that are like KJ, right? So I think this is going to be really fun. And he's been unbelievable the past three games. I mean, he's putting up like actual, like he's actually scoring the ball like a real basketball player, which is something we haven't really seen out of him lately or the past couple of years. But I think KJ getting going on offense, I think he's going to have another big offensive game where he gets between 15 and 20 points, honestly.
And
you all right, enough talk that, about.
Sorry, you, just real quick. You better hope that you don't put Renault in the lane to kind of help with Dickinson, because teams that have done that so far this year, we've just been dumping it off to KJ, and he's got this little push shot going right now. He's been making that. So, yeah, if he's making those against Indiana, it's going to be a long night.
We talked a little bit about that on your podcast when you guys interviewed us, just about how Indiana's going to guard him. And now he really can't double Hunter Dickinson. You can't give him too much attention because of the guys around him. But enough talk about in the paint. Guard-wise, it's two teams that I think is fair to say has been a little sloppy for both Indiana and Kansas up to this point. They're two backcourts that have not made a ton of threes, have not shot too efficiently, and have turned the ball over a lot. I think a big thing about who's going to win this game is which guards step up. If Kansas is the team to do that, which guards do you see being those guards to step up?
I mean, it's absolutely going to start with DeJuan Harris. He has struggled scoring the ball as of late. His shooting percentage is as low as it's been in his career, I think, in the last few games. But I take that as he's just due. He's just unbelievably due to have such a good game. I think him taking care of the ball, that's got to be, you know, objective number one. And then you have Marco Jackson too, right? Who's been a very similar situation to Mackenzie Mbako for you guys, where you got a five-star coming in with a ton of hype, a ton of talent. And it's just like, they're not quite there yet. But Marco's played better as of late. I think him just being a stable kind of option on both sides of the ball, I don't think Kansas really needs him to try and do too much offensively. Just as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I think that's really what this backcourt needs right now.
I think the kind of biggest matchup nightmare for you guys in this game is probably guarding Kevin McCullough, because he's not, you know, your stereotypical guard. He plays more kind of like a forward. You know, he'll bully you down low a little bit, post you up, and you know, I don't know if Galloway could really, you know, match that physicality with Kevin McCullough. So, you know, Kevin McCullough is playing like an All-American right now. He's averaging 19, has about 7 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game. He's been absolutely incredible. So, you know, if Indiana's able to take away Hunter Dickinson a little bit, look out for Kevin McCullough to kind of have a huge game. I think Kansas is going to play through Kevin McCullough a lot in this one, just kind of based off who might be guarding him.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
Everyone talks about the non-conference schedule and how stacked it is, or some for some teams, how weak it is. Kansas's non-conference schedule has been very good thus far. Obviously, you had UConn at home in the Big East, Big 12 battle. I think as Big 10 fans, we can all say that we miss some of the ACC Big 10 challenge and having that big team you get to play. But you've knocked off Kentucky, beat Tennessee. I know you lost to Marquette the day before, but that was a stacked roster really in Maui. And then you just beat Missouri, who who's gotten some decent wins this year. How do you think that the non-conference has shaped up so far? 9-1 is a pretty impressive record, but let's not forget, this is the first time Kansas is going on the road this year.
Yeah, first true road test, which is going to be good for this team to experience that, because you know they haven't really shot it that great outside of Allen Fieldhouse, so kind of having that adversity of maybe not seeing the ball go through and still trying to win a ball game will be big in this one. But yeah, you kind of said it. This is going to be a great non-conference basketball game. You know, home and homes. I think college basketball needs more of these, and Kansas has played a lot of tough competition so far. But you know, Indiana's no joke either. They're a good team, quality team in the Big Ten. Road game, so yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty big test for Kansas to kind of see where they're at.
Yeah, this is absolutely a legit type non-conference game for both of these teams, quite honestly. And Sam's right, college basketball needs so much more of this in the future. But I mean, Bill Self's always been super keen on at least having a couple non-conference games that are like tests that are pretty tough. Sometimes that might not be on the road, sometimes it might be a home or a neutral site. But there's always two or three games in the non-conference that Bill thinks he needs to get this team ready for a rigorous Big 12 conference schedule. And this year, with the addition of some teams, it doesn't have that same pureness of everybody plays everybody home and away each time. So I'm going to miss that a little bit in terms of the conference scheduling. But yeah, Bill's been a big non-conference guy. Kansas's non-conference is always in the top half of the country. But this being the first true road game, I think is super interesting, because it is a fact that Kansas teams shoot way better in Allen Fieldhouse.
Sticking on the non-conference, if I'm not mistaken, the only common opponent that we've seen so far is UConn between Indiana and Kansas. Other than the fact that it was in Allen Fieldhouse, what did you guys see in that game, and how did you guys beat UConn?
Yeah, that game really... Like, to be completely honest, the crowd had a lot to do with it. I mean, that was probably the best crowd that I've ever seen at the University of Kansas since I've been there. And really, the crowd kind of let Kansas get off to that crazy hot start. What it was for Kansas against UConn was defense. I mean, in that first half, UConn literally, like, they're known, you know, for their fast-paced offense. You know, all sorts of cuts, actions. Kansas wasn't letting them do anything. And in that first half, they were so turned up defensively that Indiana couldn't run its actions. They couldn't really do much. So I think it's defensively against UConn that was big, and it'll also be big against Indiana. If Kansas can lock you down to I think 65 points is their season average, and they've been giving up about 69-70 against the Power 5 teams that they played. If Kansas can keep Indiana at that, I don't see Kansas losing, because they should be able to put 70-plus up on the board.
Yeah, aside from a freaking Tristan Newton masterclass, that was a pretty ugly type of basketball game. It really did come down to defense and winning the rebounding battle, I think, because, I mean, UConn's such a great rebounding team. That was going to be the key for Kansas the whole time, and I think turning UConn's offense into something they weren't comfortable running. You could see it in the first half. They weren't getting off screens like they liked. They couldn't get it to cling in enough space that he wanted it. So I think Kansas did a good job of kind of limiting what UConn was able to do on offense. And I think we can look for that again this coming Saturday, especially if Xavier's not playing.
I think it will be interesting just how Kansas guards Indiana, because in that UConn game, you know, they switched 1 through 4, and really just didn't allow anything like action wise for Indiana. And you know, they were going over all the screens to get out to shooters. Indiana, you know, they don't really have many shooters to go over on, so I'd be curious to kind of see schematically how Kansas approaches this game.
Well, you guys asked us about Indiana's bench, which at times have looked really good, at times have not. And maybe you could say the same hot and cold regarding Kansas's bench. So you look at Jankovic, Timberlake, Braun, the other guys that are going to be coming off the bench. What impact do you think those guys are going to have on this game? And have you seen those guys kind of develop so far after the first 10 games?
I think the main guy that Sam and I want to see come off the bench really strong on Saturday is Johnny Furphy. He's shown flashes this year. I personally think he's been the only kind of real bright side coming off the bench this season. He can shoot it really, really well. has really only shot it well at Allen Fieldhouse this year, however. So I'm interested to see how he's an 19-year-old kid straight from Australia, that program they have down there. So this is his first kind of, you know, real college basketball game away from home. So I am interested to see how he plays. Parker Brown's going to get some decent minutes. And then Timberlake, if he doesn't play, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think Furphy is going to be big. Hopefully Parker Brown, you know, hopefully Hunter Dickinson stays out of foul trouble, so we only see him for about 5 to 8 minutes. Yeah, I think the biggest one's going to be Furphy. And then if Nick Timberlake can maybe get something going in this game, come off the bench, make a couple threes, and not get beat defensively, that'll be big. But right now, this Kansas team is the five starters and Furphy, and then maybe a little bit of Timberlake for about 5 minutes and Parker for about 5 minutes. So this isn't a deep team at all. You're probably going to see those starters out there for 35 minutes plus in this game if it's a close one. So really the bench probably isn't going to be that much of a factor, but if it is for Kansas, then it's probably not a good sign for Indiana when Kansas's bench is playing well.
Kansas's bench has to play legit minutes. Indiana will win this basketball game.
That kind of brings me to my next question. It's just going to be Indiana fans, our listeners want to know, if Indiana's to win this game, what's the one thing they got to do?
Get Dickinson in foul trouble. Because once you get that, the only thing you really have to worry about defensively is Kevin McCullough. And having McCullough and Dickinson both play like All-Americans right now, that's a pretty tough tandem to deal with. If you can get Hunter Dickinson in foul trouble, then I mean, Sam and I have talked about it. Like, Parker Brown can't match up with Khalil Ware. Like, I've liked what I've seen out of Parker Brown this year. This is just not a good matchup for him at all. He's only like 6'8", and he's not super strong. He's kind of the antithesis of like what Dickinson looks like, what he looks like. So I mean, if you get Dickinson out of the game in the first half, Indiana goes on a 10-2, 11-2 run. Maybe the game's tied up or you have a 4-point lead at halftime. That's, I think, best case scenario for Indiana going into Saturday.
The keys for me would be Indiana needs to rebound the ball. You know, you can't – Kansas isn't a team that's really going to crash the offensive glass and get those second chance opportunities, but Indiana can't allow those at all, or Kansas is probably going to kill you a little bit there. So rebounding – it's going to be huge. You know, Bill Self just doesn't lose too many games whenever he out-rebounds his opponent. So that's going to be the biggest thing. And I really think this game's just going to come down to the defensive side of the ball. And neither team that great from beyond the arc. Neither team really takes care of the ball that well. So whoever is able to kind of, you know, frustrate the other team's offense and really take over the game defensively, I think is going to be the team that wins it.
Let's flip it around. Kansas wins this game if?
I mean, Kansas wins this game if you allow Hunter Dickinson to 20 and 10. Kansas isn't going to lose many games when Hunter's on. So I think really kind of starts there. And really it's just Kansas supporting cast. You know, if Hunter Dickinson does get in foul trouble, somebody gets in foul trouble, if somebody from that supporting cast really steps up and has a big game outside of Kevin McCullough, KJ Adams, or Hunter Dickinson, that'll be big for Kansas.
I think it can be as simply as Kansas wins if they don't turn the ball over. If Kansas does not turn the ball over more than 10 times, they're going to win the basketball game. And I want to see DeJuan Harris initiate a lot more offense personally. With the, you know, you have Dickinson, like you've got to get him the ball and you've got to get him in motion. And I understand that. But DeJuan, the past couple of games, just hasn't been the guy that we've seen lately. So I think him playing really well, taking care of the rock, and it's time for him to get up to like 7 or 8 assists again with some 4 for 5 from the field. He's just due for one of those games. So Kansas wins if they don't turn the ball over, and they definitely win if DeJuan Harris has a nice game.
All right, one last question. Before we wrap it up, we ask every one of our guests this when we come on a podcast, and even after the Auburn game and update, nobody has gotten even close. So I just want to get a final score prediction for Saturday.
Yeah, we asked you guys this one, and you guys both had Indiana losing by 10+. I actually think it's going to be a close game. I actually am thinking somewhere along the lines of 78-72, you know, 76-70. maybe even fewer points, maybe somewhere in like the 65 to 69 range. But I think Indiana will keep this one within 8 points, and it'll be a good game. That atmosphere and the field house is going to be good. So yeah,
I also think it stays between 8 and 10. I just think this game is going to be a real rock fight, and it's going to be tough for either team to really push out to a big 18, 20 point lead at any time in this one. So I think I also would like the under, whatever that number is going to be. I'd say something like 68 to 60, 68 to 59, 69 to 60, something around there.
Bill Self would love to win this game ugly. He would absolutely love.
Yeah, that's, he's going to try and make it.
Yeah. You know, not play well and still get an ugly win. It would be great.
Indiana, all they do is win ugly games this year. They have not played, I don't think, one clean game. Even again, the Maryland game, they're up, felt like a million points at half. That one was only ended up like 14 or 15 points, something like that. So Indiana, ugly is the only way they know how to win games. The last time one of Indiana's worst losses at home that I've seen was when Hunter Dickinson came in with Michigan. And it was two seasons ago after they beat Purdue, the Rob shot, all of that. Hunter Dickinson came in and just torched IU from inside and out. So that was one of Indiana's worst losses. I'm sure the guys that played on this team remember that game pretty well. And I'm sure that's in the back of their heads.
Better than getting 20 balled by Indiana State, though. I witnessed that. So.
All right. Well, that's all we have for you guys. Thanks for coming on. Should be a fun matchup Saturday. Number 2, Kansas visits Assembly Hall to play Indiana. From Ben Haller and Austin Platt, the normal hosts, alongside Sam Lance and Jackson Vesdick, our fellow Field of 68 team podcasters. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.